Scripture reading for this evening hour is from the Old Testament, second book of Moses, Exodus 31, and the verses 12 to 17. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Then we go to read from the prophet Nehemiah, chapter 13. And we start from verse 15 till 22. Nehemiah 13, verse 15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading winepresses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves, and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware and salt on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, What evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye at the gates, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and the sellers of all kinds of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. And from that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath day. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. So for the scripture reading.
Remember the Sabbath day tonight, the fourth commandment. Well, this is arguably one of the most important keys to the revival and for the cure of our lost society. As you've been noticing this week, we have another law proposal to take care of child abuse. Now, it's a worthy cause, nothing wrong with that. As our Minister Bennett has come up with a grandiose plan, and surely it needs all the attention. But will it cure that? The only cure of this country, friends, is the restoration of the fourth commandment to its right position. The The restoration of a faithful Lord's Day keeping and a faithful ministry of the Word of God is the only hope for New Zealand. No money, no government programs will ever come close to touch the deepest need of our society. We are around an incredible amount of witness in this country, violence in this country. We witness an incredible amount of child abuse. It's an astounding rate in this highly developed country. We are having the highest solo moms in the world. We have one of the highest drug abuse rates in the countries of developed nations. We have an incredible disrespect in our schools of our young people. We're noticing a brokenness in families and young people's lives, taking their lives at young age. There's an unquenchable thirst in this country for leisure, entertainment. And the more we pour and the more we do, the less we are seeing any positive returning. So the cure of these personal, family and social ills is not more money, not more government, not more counselors, but really a return to the fourth commandment. Remember this my holy day. There is no commandment so universally broken in this country than this fourth one. Even though still in the latest census of 55% of our country still calls themselves Christian. Now that would be lovely to see 55% of our nation in church on this day. And where are they? Not in church. And if you look to the history of the world, historically it is proven that no obedience has been more blessed to a man's personal welfare, physically, socially, and obviously spiritually, than the keeping of the Christian Sabbath day. Nothing promotes peace, harmony, family life, personal well-being, physical health, as the keeping of the Lord's Day. And you don't need to be a Christian theologian to do your own research on that. It's a proven fact. Morality of life is all tied in with the keeping of this Lord's Day, where the Lord's Day is observed as God has ordered it. Morals are promoted. The poor are elevated. Vice and evil is fought on all levels. Neatness, diligence, and energy is restored. It's incredible what the blessings are attached to the keeping of the fourth commandment. I'm not even talking about the spiritual aspects. And why is that? Because God has called this day holy and set it aside to benefit you and me. Just as I read this evening together with you, the Lord made this a sign between the children of Israel and himself forever. 6 days has the Lord made the heaven and the earth. On the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Oh, God wasn't tired. But isn't it beautiful that the scripture says he rested and he was refreshed. To take up, as it were, the work tomorrow, you need to be refreshed. To fight the battle against sin, you need to be refreshed. The noble commandment is really as vital as this one, as we'll see this evening. Now, I'd like to read with you two confessions. One is the Heidelberg Catechism first, Lord's Day 38. And tonight, I'd also like to introduce a little bit of the Westminster Confession as well as the Westminster Catechism teaching on this Lord's Day, which together makes a beautiful complementary teaching to each other. Now, first on the Heidelberg Catechism, What does God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained. And that I, especially on the Sabbath, that's on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear his word, to use the sacrament, to publicly call upon the Lord and to contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath day. Now, on your outline tonight is the Westminster Confession on the Sabbath day. This Sabbath, that's part of it. There's more to that whole confession on this, but I'll just read this part of it. This Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparation of their hearts and an ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe an holy rest all the day from their own works, words and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also are taken up the whole time in the public and private exercises of his worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy. Well, tonight let us consider this fourth commandment and its necessity, or the importance of it at least, and then the next time we'll look more closely at what does God really require us and how to keep the Lord's Day. So this evening, only the first main thought, the importance of this fourth commandment. This one, as well as all others, is one of the most caring touches of the love of our Creator. The fourth commandment, it's not, you may not work. That's a negative. But it is, I allow you a day off. That's the point. You feel the difference, right? God gives us a day off. Because you know what? He owns me and you. And he may employ me 7 days, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But that's not how God employs his people. One day per week, you don't have to work. See, God's love there? You see God's care over you? You work yourself to death if you do not get yourself a day off. And society is showing all the signs of it, that we're doing that very well. Stress levels, sickness levels, it's there. And as they're telling us, much of the stress is bringing lots of the sicknesses psychologically as well as physically. But that's because people never take God's fourth commandment literally. At least many of them don't. So please let's remind ourselves the Creator is expressing his caring love in every one of the Ten Commandments, setting his covenantal fence protecting the quality of our life on this earth. Perish the thought that his law is negative. Perish the thought that this God of love and care would give us anything that's negative. That thinking is bred by the darkness of our mind and by the sinuations of the devil. It's not godly. God's law is his expression of his tender love. And so is the fourth one when he says, I have created this day for you. You turn in the scriptures to Mark chapter 2. Jesus had a lot of issues to clear up on the Lord's Day. Came on earth in an ultra legalistic setting of Lord's Day keeping. And for 30 years, he kept them all as he was taught, until he became himself a rabbi. And he began to push over all these holy cows on the Lord's Day, continually, didn't he? Trying to clean this Lord's Day keeping from all the incredible loads of rules to make this day a miserable day. This Queen of Days, Jesus liberated. And just look at the last two verses of this chapter, Mark 2. When he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is the Lord also of the Sabbath day. You know what Jesus says here is God's kind provision to allow the man a day of rest. That's what the Sabbath day was made for. 6 days he labored, and then he gave man one day off. Sabbath day was made for man. And the Jews, of course, they were making the Sabbath day an incredibly difficult day to live through. They had hundreds of rules, what you could do and could not do on the Lord's Day. And Jesus redeems it. He says, no, this Lord's Day is given you to rest from the cares and distresses of the world. This is a day in which you may take away, and must take away, your mind from all the earthly concerns that you're busy with all day, every day, the whole week sometimes. This is a time I give you. You don't need to work. And you may focus on the deeper issues of life, eternity, and your soul. This is a day that you may seek my comforts to cheer you in all the worries. Have a breather space in all the stress. Now, this is a day that I gave you that you can seek my truths to be strengthened as you again face tomorrow. So that was the Sabbath day. It was made for man. It was given as a gift. Not as a harness. Not as something to make your life, can do this, can do that. Completely intended to promote the spiritual and the physical welfare and to refresh the body. It's interesting that Miller, a Presbyterian minister of the 1800s, made quite an argument in one of the articles I read some years ago that this should be a day of fasting rather than a day of eating. Now, we usually eat extensively on the Lord's Day. And I'm not sure he's right or wrong, but he made a point. He says, it's a day of resting, not only for your soul, also for your body. Instead of spending so much time and consuming energy with food that you don't really need on the day you work. An interesting point. He says, maybe there was a day in which God wanted us to actually just rest body and soul and just focus on the spiritual joys of God and of His Word. So he's not right or wrong, I do not know. It was an interesting view on keeping the Lord's Day simple and to make it just focusing on a real aspect. So keep that, tuck it away. This day was made for man. That's how Jesus teaches us. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath day. Now that brings me to the second main thought. What is now so important about this fourth commandment? And that's illustrated by several noteworthy facts. First, if you only look at the size of the commandment. There are three commandments that are fairly big in size. The second, the fourth, and the tenth. It's probably true that these three have the most destructive results if they're not kept. Second, you know, for the third and the fourth generation, will affect those that come after you. You don't keep them. And at the tenth, as we look at the Lord's Day later, well, I won't, but you will, at least in a different way, it's a very deep commandment when it speaks about the coveting nature. And then the fourth here. God spent a lot of time on the fourth commandment, didn't he? He details it very, very extensively. Places before us not only what he is expecting, but why he has instituted this Lord's Day that he has set aside and blessed. So I hear that this is an important commandment to God. They're all important, but the fourth has a special importance. The second way that that is illustrated is by the way God introduces this one. In Exodus 20, it starts with remember, not thou shalt. Remember. Don't forget this day. Why this word, congregation? Well, several reasons. The first, because there's probably less of the light of nature to suggest the fourth commandment than any other one. What I mean with this is when you go to the heathen primitive countries, you never find them keeping the Lord's Day. There is no holy day. Every week. Yeah, they do not allow incest, they don't allow murder, they don't allow stealing, they don't allow, you know, disrespect to parents and authorities. Those are the commandments that, as it were, imprinted in our innate knowledge that there is a God, that he needs to be worshipped, but that there is one day in the week separated is not very naturally suggested. Therefore, God says, remember, this one, that I specifically have ordained one day in the week to be set aside. Remember. Now the second reason why God says remember, there's no commandment more easily broken than the fourth one. Long before people swear off their allegiance to the first, they'll swear it off to the fourth. Long before people become apostatized from the faith and deny even the existence of God, they will pull away of the fourth. In the churches I have ministered, when I see people beginning to break the Sabbath day, it is nearly 100% true that those are the ones that you also disappear into the world and go lost. Therefore, God says, remember, when you begin to tinker with not keeping the fourth commandment, you are going to compromise yourself on all the other nine. The fourth is so critical. My dear hearers, young people, families, the fourth is so critical. How few are holding to the Sabbath day today. That's why our country is sliding in its fast slide downward. Why is that happening? Well, if they all would meet with each other and the Word of God and every Lord's Day, what are they going to hear? What are you going to hear? You're going to hear the Word. You're going to be confronted. And that's the third reason why God says remember. Because casting aside and weakening and the wrong keeping of the Lord's Day is going to affect every other keeping of the commandments. When God is speaking to us tonight or this morning, and you leave your seat empty, you don't hear him speak. And when you don't hear him speak, you don't hear him speak tomorrow either. Especially if you have consciously chosen not to be here. Don't think that you'll hear him speak tomorrow. And if you consistently are absenting yourself from where God speaks, you're going to hear him less and less than all the other commandments. Therefore, God says, remember. That's in my introduction. When we have a revival of the Lord's Day keeping, we're seeing a revival of society, a revival of the church, a revival of a personal life and family. So again, as we're busy with God's Word and as we hear the Lord's Word, it will have a correcting and modeling and renewing and a deepening influence on the keeping of the rest of the commandments. Failure to obey this command, friends, is the root cause of our moral decline. Our country, someone said, is starving because they don't know God. And I say amen to that. This country is destroying itself. Why? Because they do not come to hear the Word of God. And that is what you can do yourself too. Take it along tonight. If you don't open this scripture in your personal devotion, you're destroying yourself. If you don't come to church and if you don't pay attention to what is being said and spoken here and you go home and you just don't rehearse these things, you will harden your heart. And you will indeed lead yourself astray. Now the last reason why God says remember is because it's so easy to be swept up by all the things that keep us busy. Work, recreations, friendships, social contacts, that we forget to reserve the time for what is most essential in our life. What's our most essential in a relationship? Now, those who have a relationship, they know the answer is that we spend some time together, quality time together. That we build that relationship by sharing, by listening, by communicating. Nothing can substitute that. And God says, remember, if that relationship between you and me is going to flourish, it's going to need time. And I know you're busy all week. You have your family. You got your work. You got your stress. You got your expectation. It's so little time sometimes. But one day in a week, I allow you to have vacation from all your work, as much as necessary. And what are we doing today? We're adding more and more to the Lord's Day. I've said already to you young people, switch off that cell phone and switch off that computer. On the Lord's Day, let's fast. Why? So we have less distraction, less communication for all these people that are not necessarily speaking about our soul. Would be beneficial because you had more time then to speak with God and to listen to God or to read something profitable or perhaps do other things to profit your soul. Yeah, but we're adding things to it. We go visit this and visit that. And we go do this and this and this. We're going to look at that next week. What is the Lord now wanting us to do with this Lord's Day? But one thing He wants us to do is to keep it as uncluttered as possible. So we have the time for Him. So again, remember this Lord's Day. You know, paradise was a very lonely place for Adam. I mean, paradise. A lonely place for Adam. It always strikes me when I read that. God said there's one thing that was not good. Adam was lonely. No, he had God. He had a perfect creation. He had no sin, but he was lonely. Why? Because he had no companion. And so God is telling us there, at the very beginning of the world, that no matter what material benefits you have and blessings you have, if you don't have a companionship and an inward, intimate relationship with someone, you're going to be lonely. Now that's true socially. That's also true spiritually. Your life is one-dimensional if you have only people in your life. It's two-dimensional and God is in there as well. And that is so beautiful, to have a relationship with your Creator that filters through in a relationship with people. And so many are missing that. And so they need to fill up that void with all kinds of other things. Whereas A child of God doesn't need that because he loves to have a little void time so he can commune with God. And that fills the day far more than anything else. And so, dear congregation, and young people and families, let us take a look at this Lord's Day. What does it mean in my week, this Sabbath day? Now, the third reason why God says remember that the importance of this day is by the way God defined the day. He says, keep it holy. Now, let's first sing together before we look at those last two thoughts. 320. Verse 1 through 5. Ye gates of peace and joy untold, ye gates of righteousness unfold. And then it speaks in the middle of that song about this day the Lord has made. To be, to him be joyful honors paid. 320, all five. the blessings descend on us in boundless grace, and particularly God dispenses those blessings on the Lord's Day. Now the second or fourth commandment begins, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And in the end of the commandment it says, and for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So what's all important about the fourth commandment is that it is a holy day. God says, I have set aside, sanctified this day above all days, every week, as an holy day. Now, holy means it's set aside for very sacred use. It's for a special dedication. You know, the garments that Aaron wore into the Holy of Holies? They were just as holy as the Lord's Day. Imagine going Aaron with those clothes on and go chop the firewood and do all that throughout the day. Say, oh Aaron, God says you only put that on when you go into the Holy of Holies. Because that is a holy garment. Special. Do you consider that that's the same as the holy day? I don't think we do. I think there's a tendency in us to think, oh, it's just Sunday. It's not just Sunday. It's God's sanctified day. You don't abuse it. He says, it's my day. 6 days you do your work. And the seventh is mine. You don't have to work, but I expect you to certainly keep it holy. We don't make it holy by keeping it. We don't make it holy at all by keeping it. It is holy, and therefore we are to keep it holy. And that applies to the whole day, not just the church service here. And our Heidelberg Catechism, as they explain the fourth commandment, notice in the end, secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath day. In the Heidelberg, the Westminster Catechism, it says it this way. The Sabbath, or the Lord's Day, is to be sanctified by an holy resting all the day, not only from such works that are at all times sinful, that's obvious, but even from such worldly employments and recreations as are on other days lawful. And making it our delight to spend the whole time, except so much of it as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy, in the public and the private exercises of God's worship. This is how our forefathers in the Westminster Assembly defined the keeping of the Lord's Day. Are we doing that? Are we refraining from such worldly employments? And not worldly and necessarily sinful, but just the daily stuff. As I said, texting and checking your internet and just visiting. And this is a worldly employment. It's the daily things of life. Our forefathers would say, that's put it aside. That's not for that day. This is a special day. And God says, let's refrain from these things and from the recreations that are on other days lawful. Yeah, there are some recreations that are totally legitimate. But not on the Lord's Day. It's a holy day. And then to make it our delight to spend the whole time of it as much as we have. Of course, we have some necessity works and mercy works. And we'll look at that more the next time in public and private exercises. In congregation, that applies to the also to the preparation for this day. I love the way our Heidelberg Catechism says it. The fourth commandment is that all the days of my life I cease from evil works and yield myself to the Lord to let the Holy Spirit work in me. It almost sounds a little Arminian, isn't it? To cease from my own works, to yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me. I mean, we don't do that, do we? We don't have that ability. Oh, remember, it's speaking first of all here to the believers who have been given the freedom and the deliverance of the bondage. And they're saying, don't go back into this bondage. But even all of us, how do you prepare for the Lord's day? That I all the day of my life cease from evil works. Here, I read the Westminster Catechism again in a different place when it speaks about the preparation for the Lord's day. He says, prepare our hearts with such foresight, diligence, and moderation to dispose and seasonably do our worldly business that we may be the more free and fit for the duties of that day. To say it in simple language is this. Make sure you organize your time well so that you don't arrive on the Lord's day exhausted. And some of us have turned the Lord's day in a good old sleeping afternoon because we're so tired. I wonder if God meant it for that. And I think our forefathers here are quite correct when he says you are to prepare your heart so. You got to be foresight. You got to have diligence and moderation to so come to the Lord's day that you are fit and free for the duties of today. So how am I spending my week? How do I spend my week in preparation for next week's Sunday? How do I spend my Saturday night in preparation for this day? Yeah, did I spend in good preparation this past week for today? Am I yielding my mind to the Lord? Am I preparing my heart to seek Him? Am I disciplining myself to listen to Him? To allow the Spirit to address me, to work in me? Do I make the time free for that? I have no choice about how much time I have. But I do have a massive choice in how I use my time that I have. And so do you. And part of the fourth commandment, as it is said here, is disciplining my time so that I prepare my heart to be ready for this day. Lots of things to think about this night, congregation. For many of us, the only preparation for Sunday is to work ourselves so tired that we need to sleep and catch up on our sleep. Nothing is more offensive to a special person than when he is visiting if you lay on the couch to sleep. And this is not a special God who says one day in the week you don't have to work. Just do the bare minimum that's needed and rest. And spend your time with me and with each other around the Word and together in worship. That sounds ideal, of course, and I know it's not always ideal because we're dealing with kids and our own hearts, but that's the purpose of this day. Now, lastly, this day is a very important day because notice how God stresses in the fourth commandments that we fathers or spiritual leaders are to take a real clear direction here. He says, thou shalt not do any work, but you also don't allow your son to work, or your daughter, or your maidservant, or your manservant, not even your cattle, or the visitor that comes to your house, the stranger in your gates, it's the visitor. Don't have any of them work. So the fourth is directed again to the family heads and to the superiors, to those who are leading, including government. And as leaders, we ought to do everything to keep the focus of this day before our families. Our leaders in our country are going to have to stand before their maker someday, and he's going to tell them, listen, you have not done your job, your duty. I gave you this governing task in Wellington, partially also to make sure that the Lord's Day is kept. That's the government duty as well. So we're living indeed in a country where today the Lord's Day is not kept, and you don't hear anyone in Wellington speaking about that. But we are at least to speak about it together here at home. Even the stranger, the visitor, is not to work. We also ought not to let anybody else work that doesn't need to work. Shopping on this day, eating in restaurants and other unnecessary work is not a Sabbath day thing. Because then we are letting that stranger in the gate work for us. I know we're living in a society today where it's pretty hard because somebody's working to keep the electricity on today. I realize that there's things in our life we can escape today from. We can have a church service in the dark and the microphone. So there are things that we are hard to escape. Also in farming, for example. But are we having the mind focus of this so lovely commandment? So friends, let us conclude with this evening with two or three applications. God's demand for our time is very modest. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, one day thou shalt not. Thou shalt not do thy work. As to God, the important is the quality of time, not the quantity. He knows and he knows that we are having many engagements. He knows we have busy families, we have work, we have all these requirements. And some of us have more of that than others, but for God it is important to have the quality time. So let's therefore focus on making and keeping this time as free and as profitable as possible. Now let's ask yourself, what is my attitude toward this Lord's Day? I quoted on your outline an interesting verse from Amos. Let's take a moment to read that, Amos 8. And think about what is the attitude of the people toward the Lord's Day. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the knee, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and when will the Sabbath day be over, that we may set forth wheat, and make the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsify the balances by deceit. Notice the attitude. Can't wait for the Lord's Day to be over. So I get back to work. I get back to the joys of my life. Now if that's your attitude about this day, then let me declare to you, you're the most unfit to die. And that could happen to you as it happened to Mr. Williams on Tuesday last week. 55 years old. And if you think the Lord's Day is a drudgery and a drag, you won't enter into the kingdom where this Lord's Day 7 days a week. Because Jesus says, except a man be born again, he shall not enter my kingdom. Nothing that defiles will enter. I urge you to consider your attitude as a reflection of the deplorable state of your soul. My soul is God's temple. your soul is too. Your soul is God's temple. You're steward about that. And one day in a week, he says, let's work on that temple. And every day of the week, of course, we are to have a focus on that, especially on this day. And whatever we think or dream or live and desire and rejoice, that's, of course, what lives in our temple. What a dreadful state we're in, congregation, if we are slaves to our idols, slaves to our joys, slaves to our work, slaves to ourselves. That's an utterly, utterly dissatisfying life. There is no greater satisfaction, and I wish God's people here would also say that more often, of knowing God and tasting His grace and experiencing His nearness. And you can have all your toys and all your joys that the world can offer. That is something so preciously sweet in knowing God and being able to look beyond this life to think one day God's going to take me home forever into the eternal Lord's day. No more sin and no more suffering and no more slavery to myself and to the things of this life. So, dear friends, you have no control about how much time you have, but you have so much control about what you do with your time. I want to set before you a young man who was an utter fool, and he regretted it too late. And he grew up under such great privileges as you and I do. As a man who sold his spiritual birthright for a cup of sweet soup. That's all. His name was Esau. Hebrews chapter 12 speaks about him. He says, Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected because he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Came a day that Esau realized that was a foolish choice. That was too late. What did he seek? He sought with tears at his father Isaac, please, please, father, change this. But Isaac couldn't change it anymore. It sat in forever. That was unchangeable. That decision couldn't be reversed. And how many of us are selling our birthright to a better place? When we are just, you know, exchanging the privileges with a cup of sweet soup, maybe, or less than that. Come, friends. There are some of you who are dangerously close to doing that as you choose to walk in pathways that have only one end. The broad way leads to destruction. Esau saw too late. One of the commentators on verse of Hebrews says, it teaches us not to despise the gospel favors. It teaches us not to neglect our soul till it's too late. How many tears and pleadings will be shed once the final sentence is pronounced upon our neglect and our unrepentant attitude. Oh, if we could hear today the wailing of those in hell, who says, oh, if only I would have not been so foolish to barter away my soul for a little stupid stuff of this world. In the name of your God, in the name of your Creator, may I plead tonight to give your heart to Jesus. Oh, get on your knees this evening and begin to call upon Him now while it is still time. Esau saw it too late, though he cried many tears. Today, when you hear the voice of God, don't harden your heart. Don't live as if you live forever. And then lastly, let me just compare it to that under attitude of the Lord's Day. Psalm 84, we sang about it tonight. Those people are not sitting there thinking, oh, when will this Lord's Day be over? They are thinking, oh, when can I enter into the courts of God? One day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather be a beggar. My friend, the beggar's position at the threshold of God's house is far more profitable than having the greatest fun of the chiefest city and places in the world. Because those people and those friends and those occasions cannot help you when the real crunch of your life comes. But come, here is a place in the court of God better than 1,000 days elsewhere. Why is that? Because that's where you can find Jesus. That can you find God that where speaks to you, where the Lord speaks to us, where the Spirit works. And let that be now, as we are moving out of this day. You think, how do I get all my work done this week? That's the wrong thinking. Maybe we should think, how am I going to prepare myself for the next Lord's Day? That would be a proper beginning of the week. Because yes, you have all your requirements, but how shall I get myself prepared again for that next time when God allows me time off as much as possible? As it says in our catechism, I close with that statement once again, that all the days of my life I cease from evil works. What are the evil works? And yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me. And thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath day. May God bless you. Amen. We come before Thee, great God, and we trust that Thou wilt not allow us to have used this means of grace this evening in vain. As we've come together to hear the word, to sit at Thy feet, and to again be reintroduced to this beautiful and such a holy commandment of the Sabbath day. And Lord, we pray that Thou would redeem this day out of the slow decay that is also penetrating in our own church circles and families. O Thou, give us a returning to that so vigilant, beautiful spiritual keeping that we so often read about in the former generations of our Puritan forefathers and so. Especially, Lord, as we hear this reflection on this catechism this evening. And we ask Thee, Lord, as we think about this coming Lord's Day again, that Thou wilt help us to focus on that day and on the preparation for that day. As we have all our busyness and our work again waiting for us this week, Lord, then please give us wisdom to redeem the time and to use it well. Bless our souls, O God, with this knowledge of Thee. Forgive us our sins, even those that cleave to the Sabbath day keeping. And who of us have not been guilty? Lord, go with us in the week that we began. Help us in all our labor. And give us the protection and the blessings that we need. Be with the families in grief and sorrow. We pray for the Williams family in Christchurch as they gather tomorrow to bury a father and husband. And pray, O God, that thy presence may be with this family as some of us knew them more or less. And we just commit them all to thee. And so bless us together in this day. And this night also bring us safely home. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.